Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 down through verse 14. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Our lesson today will be to look at the wedding invitation offered in this portion of the Word of God. In this lesson, we see the great, great, marvelous message of God's grace as it's set forth from Genesis to Revelation. Our lesson today will fall into these categories. First of all, the message of grace seen in the gospel of the wedding feast. Secondly, we shall look at the manner of the wedding feast. And then thirdly, if we have the time, we shall give you a practical lesson. We want you to follow along carefully, and you listen like you've never listened before, because many of you out there in Radio Land, you are as religious as you can be, but you've never responded to the invitation of the Lord God of heaven. In our text we find, many are called, but few are chosen. Here you have the message of grace in the gospel of the wedding feast. We find there are four things that stand out about this message of grace. First of all, it is absolutely free grace. We find the marriage was planned by the king. Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 4. Notice, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain marriage for his son. Now that marriage is the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the Lord God of heaven has made a marriage supper of the Lamb for the Lord Jesus Christ. At this present hour, you have the privilege of coming to know Christ in this dispensation, and my friend, if you tarry and waste away your privilege, rest assured of this, you will be left behind. You see, the wedding is a wedding of free grace. It was planned by the king. The second thing about it was this, the preparations were all made. Again, Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, And Jesus answered and spake unto them by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage, or come unto the feast. And we find they would not come. Here you see the free grace of God set forth over and over again. We find the message of grace in the gospel of the wedding feast is this. It was a message of free grace. The wedding has been planned by the king. The preparations are all made. And then the proclamation has been sent by the king's servants to invite sinners to come. The second thing about the grace of God is this. Not only was it planned grace or free grace, but we find also it is irresistible grace. Now, many of you today out there, you just don't know what I'm talking about when I say irresistible grace. The grace of God is irresistible. When God's grace sets out to accomplish its purpose, rest assured of one thing, it shall be fulfilled. This is what the Lord Jesus preached and taught and exemplified in his life, and we see it set forth over and over again. because every time God saves a sinner, and he's still in the business of saving them, we see irresistible grace accomplishing its purpose. Now, irresistible grace accomplishes its purpose with regard to its design, and therefore it will not fail. In this portion of the Word of God, we see here too, there's a message here of free grace, then there's a message of irresistible grace. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 8, we read, "Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good." Now listen to these words. "And the wedding was furnished with guests." Now some of you today, you have the idea you're doing God a favor when you supposedly accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. My friend, nothing can be further from the truth. The greatest privilege you can have is to be called by the Lord God of heaven unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's a high, holy, privileged, wonderful, irresistible call when God gives it to the individual, because it's based on God's irresistible grace. Now, you may not believe, that doesn't change it. People today say, "I don't believe the Bible," as if to think that's going to change it, whatever. It doesn't change it one iota. The Word of God is so, it's absolute, it's irresistible, it's indestructible. God shall accomplish his purpose. God has determined that there will be a wedding feast for the Lord Jesus Christ. And rest assured of this, this wedding will be furnished with the guests that God calls. If you don't come, that's your responsibility. But my friend, these guests will come, because they'll come by free, irresistible grace. Now in verses 9 and 10 of our text, we see this set forth. Look at it. "Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests." Now notice, here you see irresistible grace. Not only was the wedding furnished with guests, but notice carefully, the guests were sought for, they were found, and they were brought. And my friend, it's a fulfillment of what the Lord Jesus said when he was here on this earth, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." For 2,000 years, the Lord God of heaven has been sending out this message to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And many people today have rejected this reality. They've rejected this gracious privilege, but it doesn't make any difference. Some are going to listen, and some are going to come. And here's the marvel and the majesty of God's irresistible grace. We preach to hundreds of people, as it were, over the radio every weekend. We don't know how many are hearing. We don't know how many will respond. But we rest assured of one thing, that they shall come when the Lord God of heaven calls them. Now, has God ever called you? Oh, my friend, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you better begin to ask the Lord to have mercy on you and give you that precious call of irresistible grace. Now, the third thing about this message is this. It was also watchful grace. The king sees all the guests. In verse 11 and 12, we read, "And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless." Now, what were you talking about? The king sees all the guests. Now, you listen. God's never in a hurry, but he's always on time. There are no crises. There are no hidden things with the Lord God of heaven. He works all things after the counsel of his own will, and our Lord knows how long it's going to be before that sinner gets saved. Our Lord knows how long a sinner's going to be under conviction. Our Lord knows if that individual's ever going to be saved or not. And all those that are saved under the watchful eye of the king, who is none other than the Lord God of heaven. You see, my Lord knows who's going to be converted. And my Lord knows whom he's going to save. And my friend, you and I don't. But what a privilege it is when we set forth the Word of God as it is, to men and women as they are. We see the grace of God getting hold of a heart, and we see a proud, arrogant, haughty, despicable sinner, bowing down in the dust and ashes of repentance before the Lord God of heaven with a cry in his soul, begging the Lord to have mercy on him. And then, oh, what a transformation there is when the grace of God goes home to that heart and brings that sinner unto the saving knowledge of Christ. You see, it's watchful grace. This is the grace of God. There's free grace, there's irresistible grace, and there's also watchful grace. The king sees all the guests. And then notice, the king is also watchful regarding the banquet. In verse 11 and 12 we read, "And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless." Now what are you talking about? The only people that are going to be invited, and the only people, I should say, that are going to partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that's what this marriage feast is all about, are those who have on the wedding garment. Now what is the wedding garment? It's the robe of righteousness purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ in the crucible of Calvary and applied to every sinner when that individual comes to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It involves repentance and faith on the part of the individual, but the individual is given both repentance and faith by the Lord God of heaven, so it's all of God and it's all of grace. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have the wedding garment on at this hour? Now you say, "Preacher, what in the world are you talking about?" Well, take your Bibles for a moment, if you will, and turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, and you look with me at verse 10, where the Word of God says these words, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels." And then in Revelation chapter 19, and we find again in verse 7 and 8, we read these words. Listen to it. "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith, These are the true sayings of God." Now, do you have on the wedding garment? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, you don't have on the wedding garment. If you've never bowed at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and surrendered unto him in repentance and received him as Lord and Savior, then put it down. You don't have a wedding garment on. This is what is necessary, because this is watchful grace set forth in this portion of the Word of God. But then there's another thing we need to look at. We see also there is absolute grace here. In Matthew chapter 22 and verses 11 and 12, we read again, "And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." Now what in the world do you have here? You have absolute grace revealed. Over and over and over again, the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation sets forth that salvation is all of God and it's all of grace. No individual has a thing to do with his salvation. Even the faith by which we are enabled to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is a gift of God, because it's by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now here you have absolute grace in this portion of the Word of God. The king came in to see the guests. Now notice, he spotted a man that didn't have the wedding garment on. So here was a man trying to get to the feast without coming God's manner. Oh, how many people are like that at this hour? How about you, my radio friend? Many of you are church members. Many of you are religious. Many of you have been sprinkled, as it were, when you were a child, just like I was. But, my friend, that sprinkling won't save you. That church membership won't save you. Many of you probably have even so-called spoken in tongues. But, my friend, that won't save you. Many of you have a religious veneer, but down deep your old heart is just as corrupt and wicked as it's ever been before. And, my friend, that religious veneer is just a false front that you're putting on. When down deep in your heart, if you were to be honest with yourself, you know that you've never come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I say to you again, as I've said before, you're not going to have a portion in the wedding feast of the Lamb without a garment. You see, it's absolute grace revealed. This wedding garment is furnished unto all the guests. The king furnishes the wedding garment. Then we find also the wearing of the garment is imperative to being welcomed. Look again. Then he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Oh, how many haughty sinners today, they would tell you very clearly, Why, when I get before the Lord, I'm going to stand before him in what I've done for him, and he's going to reward me. No, my friend, the only way you're ever going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and be accepted by him is to have the wedding garment provided for you and to you by the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, without a wedding garment, you can't get in. The wedding garment is imperative, and we find the Lord Jesus is very emphatic about it, because the Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Now I'm going to ask you a question. As we've looked at this portion of the Word of God for these last few moments, what about it? Do you have the wedding garment on? Has the Lord Jesus ever reached down and delivered you from your sin? Have you ever been made to see and realize who you are and what you are and the judgment you're under? And has the grace of God ever called you? Or are you like this man here? You think that you come in under presumption, and when the eye of the Lord God of heaven fastens itself upon you, notice what will happen. We see very clearly the man was speechless, and that tells us what's going to happen in that day when an individual stands before the Lord God of heaven without the wedding garment of the Lord Jesus Christ clad about him. Oh, my friend today, listen, this feast is a glorious feast. It's a privileged feast. And we find also it will be a perennial feast, because all through the countless ages of eternity, we shall eat the rarities of the covenant of grace and delight in the fruits of saving grace and the blessings of assurance. We'll be drinking of the consolations of Christ. We'll have the fellowship of the Spirit and the comforts of God's love. There will be the choice rarity of a living hope, the taste of the oil of joy, the peace of conscience, the sweetness of the promises and the blessings of the Word that is sweeter than honey or the honeycomb. And these are the things that take place when we come to the wedding feast. My friend, as I've said before, I'll say again, the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus Christ to give you a call to this wedding feast. At this present hour, he's giving you that call. You didn't tune in this broadcast by happenstance. God directed it to you. If it stirred your heart, whatever, then praise the Lord. It means the Lord's having mercy upon you, and he's giving you the call. And my friend, we urge you, as the Lord Jesus said, come to the wedding feast. All things are now ready. All come. Come unto the marriage of the Lord God of heaven, who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Come just as you are, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. My hope is that something has been said that will stir your heart and cause you to come to a saving knowledge of Christ at this hour. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here, saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.
Thank you for joining us this week for this edition of The Mercies of God. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing in your life and that you take Pastor Peter Nortier's very practical preaching to heart and put it to work in your life, in your home, in your workplace, and in your world. These messages may have been preached many years ago, but there is a generation that has not been blessed with these messages from Pastor Peter Nortier. If you've been blessed by this message and you would like to help share this message with others, would you prayerfully consider partnering with this ministry as the Spirit of God leads? Please write us at The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. That address once again, The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. Your gifts of financial support to this ministry are greatly appreciated and will be invested in the kingdom of God. Until next week, please remember to pray daily, seek the face of the Father, and to always ask for the mercies of God.